Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geeks and Noobs podcast. We are here each and every week to give you the absolute best at non-toxic fandoms, trying to bring everybody together in a community. I am, of course, Superbeard Vince Hoover, joined as always by Kel McCosplay. There it is. I got it. Words are hard.
Good job, buddy.
But we're here. Thank you very much. If you're watching this on Twitch, thank you so much. Please hit that heart button and give us a follow. If you're feeling ever so generous, please subscribe. It's only $5 a month. Or you can use your Amazon Prime subscription and make Jeffrey Bezos pay for it. If you are on YouTube, please hit that follow button. Hit the like button. Also, hit that notification bell. That way you know every time we go live. We're also starting to post a lot more videos like the shorts that you guys have seen me doing here lately. We got a lot more of that coming up. Also, if you're watching this on Facebook, thank you so much. Please follow us there. Hit that thumbs up button. Give us a little get a love there as well. If you may notice, I am now wearing our brand new black TGN Networks hoodie. Let me move my mic. God dang it. TGN Networks hoodie. We've updated the logo. It's now available in not only gray, but in black. I'm really loving the black. It is super soft. It's super comfy. I do recommend you buy it one size up from what you normally do. So if you wear large shirts, buy an extra large. Just so you have, it's just very comfortable that way, but it's very slimming, it's very comfy, and it's all weather. So like here I am in Florida where it's still 90 degrees during the day, but right now our nights are getting down to the mid 50s. This is perfect. And it's got a great hood. It's got the big logo on the back. So definitely check that out. You can go to thegeeksandnoobs.live to get your merch. Or if you're on Twitch, you can go right down below the above us. There's a widget there with a direct link to the store. Now, obviously, we're going to be talking about She-Hulk Episode 8. Spoilers ahead, of course. But before we do, we got some breaking news to talk about. But before we even do that, Kel, my friend, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been an interesting day for me. Hung out with my youngest kid on a field trip and everything. Then after that, I took a trip over to my comic shop to get my weekly supply of books. And some of them I'll get to read eventually. But then came home, watched She-Hulk, saw the new trailer for the Super Mario Brothers movie, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
We're actually going to talk about now. So it's a great little segue, actually.
There we go.
It's part of our breaking news.
You're welcome. So
two bits of breaking news. And the first one is they did release a teaser trailer for the upcoming animated movie by Illumination, the Super Mario Brothers movie. Now, this has been steeped in some controversy with having big names like Chris Pratt and Charlie Day, Jack Black, Anna Taylor-Joy, etc. doing these voices versus the, you know, voice actor, you know, that's most well known for it. And his name suddenly just left my head.
Yeah.
Damn it. I've met the guy. Oh, my God. I've met him at a couple conventions.
Your memory, dude.
Mario, voice actor, Charlie. Martinet. Thank Jesus. Charlie Martinet. Dude's awesome. Love the dude. He apparently will be in the film in some capacities doing voices, but he's not playing Mario. We did get the teaser trailer. And it is literally a teaser trailer, but it's got a great opening scene with Bowser going after the ice palace and the little pinglings. And that scene's awesome. Like, it's just a really cool scene. Like, it's very epic and very, like, Game of Thrones-esque for a bit, and then they throw snowballs. It's hilarious. Obviously, it looks like this is going to be kind of an origin story, because it very much seemed like Chris Pratt was dumped into the Mushroom Kingdom unannounced to himself. Like, he looks around shocked. Chris Pratt did say he wasn't going to do an Italian accent, but there is a bit of a, as I mentioned this to Kel before, a kind of Godfather-esque, Jersey-like Italian, like Italian-American accent. Just a slight accent.
We hear one line, but you can hear, like, the way I said it to Vince, because we literally sent the same text at the same time, saying my version was more of a Italian accent via Brooklyn. Ironically, kind of close to what we got from Bud Hoskins in the original Super Mario Brothers live action movie.
And that might be the inspiration behind it.
I would say so, because that's the way I heard it.
The late, great Bob Hoskins. That movie is terrible, but in all the best ways possible.
Yes, I don't even care. I love that movie, and I
yeah, will it is so bad it's good. And I, of course, I'm also a huge, not only a huge Bob Hoskins fan, but I'm also a massive John Leguizamo fan.
Yes,
Dennis,
Hopper.
Thank you. I was gonna say Hopkins. I'm like, that's not right.
No.
Dennis Hopper is unhinged as always. So great. Jason, what's going on? Happy to see you in chat. Thank you for popping in.
Hey, Jason.
But yeah, so like, legit, like, I'm actually excited for this. Jack Black sounds amazing as Bowser. Like, it was really hard
to tell he was Bowser.
Yeah, until like the last line he spoke in that scene. I'm like, okay, I can kind of hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Keegan-Michael Key's playing Toad, and if you didn't know that, you wouldn't know. It's a great Toad voice. Charlie Day will be Luigi, but there is a, you see a moment with Luigi, but like you don't really hear anything, so you can't tell how Charlie Day is going to be. But everything looks amazing. Although I will say they de-caked Mario. I thought that was a shame. Mario's always been
them.
In all the games. He's always been caked up. I mean, Dolly's had a thick ass, like thick with three C's.
Yeah.
And now his overalls are actually baggy back there. Like he has no ass whatsoever. He's a plumber.
They gave him a massive dosage of no ass at all.
Yeah, the dude is a plumber. How can he have plumber's crack if he has no ass? But as we sit here and talk about an animated character's ass, I am actually more excited now after seeing the teaser. It looks great. Illumination is a fantastic studio. I love all the Despicable Me and the Minion movies. The two Sing movies are phenomenal films. So I have a lot of hope now after seeing this. I was worried at first. I was like, how are they going to play this? How are they going to do it? It looks like it's still going to be pretty much faithful to the characters with a slight twist to each one of them. Like this Toad seems more almost like a crackhead, but in the best possible way, which I love. Because to me, Toad kind of should be a crackhead. Yeah. Like it should have that mentality, should be kind of like more hyper. Mm-hmm. I grew up on the original old Super Mario Brothers cartoons back when Captain Lou Albino would do the live action part before the episode.
Oh man, I love those.
And even those are like, if you go back and watch them, they're kind of unhinged. Those cartoons are kind of unhinged. But we're also going to get Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. That kind of worries me. Because as we saw from the Chip and Dale movie, which, by the way, if you have not watched the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers Disney Plus film, the mix of live action and animation, please go watch that because it is a brilliant film. It is brilliant. John Mulaney and Andy Samberg kill it. But one of the problems, it was a problem until they actually addressed it in the film. Seth Rogen plays an animated version of Gimli from Lord of the Rings. He sounds exactly like Seth Rogen. But at one point during a chase scene at a convention, he falls to a table and then three other characters he's voiced, like Bob the Blob from Monsters vs. Aliens and a couple others, they all lean over and look at him and they all talk exactly like Seth Rogen and they all do the laugh. Like, oh, okay, they get the fact that this is how he sounds. This is who he is. So that problem went away there. How they do that with Donkey Kong, though, I don't know. So we'll see. But what were your thoughts about the trailer?
When I first saw it, you know, I have not had much hype about it since I saw the voice cast. I'm like, Chris Pratt, okay, maybe. It's a big maybe for me on that. And the rest of them were less like, really? But of course, you know, I'm going back to my old school thought process. And plus, you know, I really wanted Charlie to come back as Mario because I think he deserves it. Because he's done a phenomenal job. He's voiced Mario since Mario 64 come out.
Yeah.
And it was like when they recast, Matthew Willard as Shaggy in Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah. Matthew Lillard is Shaggy.
Yes. Now and forever. I mean, when I heard that he got recasted for that terrible Scoob movie.
That was heresy.
Oh, I just couldn't believe it. Heresy. It was just garbage. I couldn't even watch it because my boy Shags was gone. Because for a lot of people that didn't know, ever since he did the live action Scooby-Doo back in the early 2000s, he has voiced Shaggy in everything animated up to that point. And I thought it was just like, the new regime at Warner Brothers came in and was like, all right, everybody old out. Let's bring in new people. And
didn't tell anybody either.
And didn't tell anybody until the day of.
He found out from the release of the trailer.
Yes.
And he was like, wait, what? They're even like, he didn't even know the movie was being made.
Exactly.
So he wasn't, it wasn't even like he was ever even in the running. They didn't even bother telling him. So that was kind of sad. So yeah, I had the same thought with this movie. I was like, I was worried about it.
It was almost like when, going back to Wrestling with Toxicity for a second, when Eric Bischoff fired Stone Cold Steve Austin from WCW via FedEx.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm more looking forward to it now. I mean, it was just a teaser, and I won't. I'm gonna still reserve judgment until the first full trailer comes out.
We hear more dialogue. Really fun, yeah.
But it looks like they're gonna take it like, kind of take some of the elements from the live action movie in the sense of just that kind of like lightly adult humor. It'll be looks to be a good representation of the characters, but in a more of a inspiration than an interpretation, similar to what Marvel does, where they take these characters and then just give them, they reshape them to fit their universe. I feel like that might be what they're doing. It's very obvious that this is going to be a world building movie. Like, this is not going to be a one and done. Even from the teaser trailer, you can feel that. I'm going to
make a franchise out of this. I feel.
Yeah, I feel, and that's the plan. Plus, Universal Studios Orlando is building a new park called Epic Universe to attach on to Islands of Adventure and Universal.
Yeah.
And Mario is playing a big part of that. So the whole situation, I think, is all part of just building the brand back up and just giving Nintendo yet another leg. Not that they fully need it. Like, they're doing great, but it does just add to the...
Yeah.
Caught my eye on my screen. Weird. The other bit of breaking news is that we got some leaked behind-the-scenes pictures from the Madam Web film. Sony is making a Madam Web film within the Spider-Man universe. Supposedly, the plot to that is that this will be back in the past. It will surround kind of Peter Parker's mother while she's pregnant with Peter. Somebody's trying to stop Peter from being born. Apparently, we're going to get, like, Spider-Woman, Jessica Drew Spider-Woman, maybe a couple other versions, and, of course, Madam Web. Well, in these leaks, there's somebody who is in a, for lack of a better term, Spider-Man-esque suit in a fight scene. Many people have said, look, it's a variant of Spider-Man, or it's Spider-Man. I don't think it's Spider-Man. It's just because it's black and red tights, superhero tights, doesn't make it Spider-Man. The person in the suit looks like Aaron Taylor Johnson, but I don't think it is, because I think it's all stunt people in that scene. Some other rumors have been maybe it's Kane Parker, a evil clone of Spider-Man looking to go back in time and kill Peter, which would be dumb because then he wouldn't exist. Like, that doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah.
I think, based on it being a Madam Web movie, and that they're trying to stop Peter Parker from being born, it's Morlin. Morlin is kind of a spider god-esque character who hates Peter Parker, and he hates Madam Web, because it turns out that the people with spider powers, similar to like the Speed Force, have their own connected ability universe kind of thing. And Morlin wants all of that for himself. So going back and killing Peter Parker before he's born would stop Peter from tapping into it. It would also allow him to kill Madam Web, because Peter's the one that's always stopping him. So I think it's Morlin.
Yeah, that would definitely make the most sense, because, like you said, Morlin and Madam Web, they have a hated history with each other in the comics. And if anybody who is watching wants to try to research more of that, research the original Spider-Verse comic. That'll give you a lot of information about it. Also, like Spider-Geddon, and even now they have Edge of the Spider-Verse comics that are coming out right now. I just picked up issue 5 today, and it's just got stories of different Spider-Man variants in it. But yeah, Morlin is more or less not really a godlike character, but he's more or less like a vampire that eats the essence of spider people.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it, for sure. Yeah, it's more of a spider vampire kind of thing.
Yeah. him and
but he's trying to reach, he is trying to reach like godlike status.
Yeah, if they acquire enough spider essence, then they can become gods and roam freely throughout the multiverse.
Megan, hello. Thanks for popping on. Again, if you could hit that thumbs up, that'd be great. Welcome on Facebook. Appreciate that. So yeah, I do believe it's going to be, you know, Morlin, but it could be a new character. It could be somebody else. I just don't feel it's Spider-Man. I don't get that vibe from it. The suit looks nothing like it really, like it's black and red, but it's like, it doesn't really look anything like a Spider-Man suit really.
Yeah, it's very
Megan, thank you for liking the stream. You also got a dancing dinosaur. So that's the big kind of breaking news going on right now. So let's dive into She-Hulk episode 8, the penultimate episode. We've got one episode after this. This was the longest episode we've gotten.
Yes.
And for good reason. And she literally judged that. We got arguably the most fourth wall breaking that we've ever gotten. Mm-hmm. In this episode, and I had kind of had an issue with the fact that they had dialed back on that in the last two episodes. It's seemingly more, but now I see why they did, because this one was going to be fourth wall breaking heavy.
Yeah,
and so I understand now why they dialed it back. And see, that's why you got to reserve some judgment before, until the whole series is done.
Exactly,
dude, bros.
Bless you.
Yeah, thank you. but we also got, of course, the long-awaited return of Daredevil. Just Matt Murdock, but Daredevil. People have been clamoring for it ever since the first teaser trailer of She-Hulk when he was here for a second. And we finally got it. And man, did we get, I think, the best version of a live-action Daredevil we have ever seen.
Absolutely 100% agree with you, Vince. I mean, it was just so fun to see Daredevil in his most comic book adaptation that we could get that was not in an animated series.
Exactly. And what I love was that, like, yes, the Netflix series is phenomenal. I love the Daredevil Netflix series.
Yes.
But not that's only one. From that. It's only one aspect of who Daredevil really is in the comics. Mm-hmm. This, I think, blended it perfectly. And yes, there were some quips and whatnot, but guess what? Daredevil has quips.
Yes.
I see people complaining that he was really acrobatic, which, what?
I was like,
how is that a problem? Daredevil is a human male that moves almost like Spider-Man in the comics. He is so acutely aware of his surroundings and the fact that he is an Olympic level gymnast. He is able to move and do things that even Olympic level gymnasts cannot do.
Yes.
We finally got to see that. And people want to complain about that? That's crazy to me. But also, you know, he's a ladies' man. He is very charming. The court scene was phenomenal. Everything about this Daredevil appearance, we got a hallway fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
We did hear the... Jason says, this is my Matt, the Matt all Matts will have to live up to.
Agreed.
Megan says, he's always been acrobatic. Exactly. And I actually think the Netflix series lacked that a lot. Like, he had flips and stuff, but it wasn't near enough to his to what Daredevil really is.
Yeah, not to his true ability that he has in the comics.
No, not at all. I think that it was great. We did get that little sound teaser of the Netflix theme when he's introducing himself as Daredevil. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people are like, oh, see, Netflix is canon. You missed the entirety of that scene.
Yeah.
Because he introduces, he goes, I'm Daredevil. And she goes, who? Because the Netflix series isn't canon.
Yeah.
If there was vigilantes in Hell's Kitchen, somebody's going to know about it. Especially with the Sokovia Accords. Now, I'll get to Sokovia Accords in a minute, because that was also brought up in a very important way. And it was a throwaway line, but it was the most important throwaway line of the future.
Yes.
Because there was a lot of questions coming up that haven't been answered yet over the last year, 2 years almost. But Daredevil would obviously be having, before the Sokovia Accords were repealed, he would have had to have registered to him. Like, people would know who he is. So the fact that she didn't know who he was speaks volumes about the fact that this is not the same Matt. It's going to have a lot of the same values. There's no need to go back and do another origin because you can count that as a kind of an origin, but it's not actually connected. He is a variant. This is the MCU version. Charlie Cox and Kevin Feige have both made that clear in an interview with Extra that this will be a, we're not going to blatantly ignore what we did in Netflix, but we're also not going to touch on it. And we're just going to be moving forward. That's why it, the Born Again isn't just a nod to the Born Again comic series. It's also a nod to the fact that he is born again as this character now in the MCU.
Yeah.
Same with Kingpin. The Kingpin we got in Hawkeye was far stronger than the Kingpin we ever saw. Far more indestructible. You know, in the comics, Kingpin isn't really superpowered, but the dude weighs like 750 pounds and is all muscle.
Yeah.
He looks like he's fat, but he's all muscle. He used to wear a collar around his neck behind under his suit, which looked like a giant spiked dog collar, and it shot poison darts. And the mechanism worked solely on him flexing his neck muscles to force it out, and it shot it out faster than a speeding bullet. That's how strong is just his neck muscles were. So the fact that we have a Kingpin that can rip car doors off of cars, can take arrows to the chest and not be wounded, is going to get shot in the face, as we saw at the end of Hawkeye, but come back.
Yeah.
There, we're seeing a new version here. I like the kind of like jabs at the yellow and red suit. You know, it's pretty bold of you to use mustard and ketchup as your color scheme. You know, stuff like that. I thought that was great.
Yeah, the band, Jen and Matt's banter was fantastic. Even when they're just Jen and Matt, after the court case, was great. I mean, I totally felt a connection between the two of them.
Oh, their chemistry is palpable.
Oh, yeah.
Palpable. And that happened in the comics.
And I want to go back real quick and we're talking about, you know, the Netflix series not being canon. I was like, yes, they put in the music, but that's because people recognize it as that theme. But you know what? When Charles Xavier debuted in the yellow hover chair in Multiverse of Madness, that does not make the 1992 animated series canon to the MCU.
No.
I mean, if you think just because you hear a theme song from another thing makes it canon, you are an idiot.
Well, also the fact that they played that theme song during his introduction, and it was more like, it's not just, hey, you guys recognize this theme. It was also, oh, it's the Netflix Daredevil. Yeah. And then he's like, I'm Daredevil. He's like, she's like, who?
Yeah.
And the whole scene was constructed to show you that this is not the same Daredevil. That song was purposely put in there. Then later on, we see him fighting the henchmen. And there's a variation of that theme playing. And it seems like they're going to do, like, this might be his very
new theme. They were goons. They were not henchmen, as they clearly discussed in the show.
Yes, because those would be goons because they were for hire. They were not down for the cause.
Goons are for the paycheck. Henchmen believe in the cause.
Yeah, they were goons.
And I thought that was a great little bit. I loved it. I laughed so much.
Like I said, another thing that showed that the Netflix show isn't canon is we got another hallway fight scene, which Daredevil is very well known for. But that hallway fight scene, as great as it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Loved the blue lighting. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
It then gets interrupted by She-Hulk smash.
Yeah.
To show you, like, nope, this is not what it is. He's not going to be covered in 16 pints of blood from beating up 45 guys.
Yeah.
He is part of this world now. So I thought that was great as well. Also, that line he gives about how She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters, can get justice for people through the law, and then She-Hulk can help them when the law fails them.
Exactly. That is
not only a tie to Matt Murdock's whole thought process of becoming Daredevil in both the comics and the Netflix series, but also to the final line in She-Hulk, in Savage She-Hulk number 1, 1982. She actually says something very similar, where she says that, as Jennifer Walters, I can help use the law to fight for people, and when the law fails them, She-Hulk can save the day. So, very important line. Very, very cool. But Daredevil was not the only cameo we got, was it?
No, it was not.
We got Leapfrog.
Yeah, finally got Leapfrog. I mean, we've been waiting.
By the way, that video that Marvel put out where they talked about, you know, the cameo you've finally been waiting for, and then it's the Leapfrog one, and everybody's like Nikki's got green paint on her face and everything. That was phenomenal. Love that
It
so
was.
much.
That was such a
So, so good.
Good tease and a troll for the dude bros.
I thought that was great.
Yes.
I like how they flipped
remember,
the character.
You're at the Geeks and Noobs, in Feige we trust.
I love how they flipped the character of Leapfrog, because in the comics, Frogman was his dad, who was a down-on-his-luck inventor turned villain. Leapfrog, his son, finds the costume, decides to get out of his dad's shadow and become a hero. Now, he's still a joke of a hero, but he's a hero. They have flipped this in a way, because his dad is rich. Not as, they lived off his their mother's money growing up. In this, the dad is rich, huge client of the law firm. Obviously, he was able to use the Frogman persona for some kind of money, because that arcade game next to Frogger was a vintage video game about his dad.
Yeah.
And now Leapfrog has become a villain, and it's more just being a spoiled rich kid kind of thing. Even when he talks about his new suit, he basically describes an Iron Man suit, wanting a British AI, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Megan says the dude bros always make me laugh. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I also want to touch on something we get later on in the, not a post-credit scene, it's a post-episode, like, shouldn't the episode be over when she even talks about that? The gala stuff, but we'll get there. Because
yeah,
I think that this actually touches on something that the dude bros have been bitching about and not realizing the context. But so Leapfrog kidnaps Luke after a failed court case because he used the wrong, he didn't follow instructions, which I got to give, Jen should have done more before even approaching Luke about settling out of court. Should have looked more into the care and instructions of the suit. This is where I think Jen fell off as a lawyer a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she mainly did that is because she was trying to get the, like, I don't want to represent this case. Have Pug do it. But because she got stuck doing it, I think she kind of went into it half-assed.
Yeah.
And then kind of let her emotions get the best of her when Luke said that, you know, nope, it tears up her suit and all that, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, I got this in the bag. She didn't do as much research as she should have. Of course, Daredevil uses his super smelling to know it's jet fuel. I love the joke about, you know, he shows up, sorry, I'm late, had a hard time finding a place to park. And that's a very Daredevil line, even from the Netflix series, he'd have done something like that.
Yeah.
I love that. But we finally get She-Hulk in her super suit.
Going back for just a second, another line that I really love is when Daredevil said Leapfrog was lying. And he's like, he's lying. Don't ask me how I know, but I know. And then even the judge is like, yeah, we can tell he's lying.
Yeah. That was kind of like he can hear his heartbeat racing and that he's lying, but the reality is like we can all tell he's lying.
Yeah,
because he's not good at it. I thought that was great too. But yeah.
Yeah.
Finally get She-Hulk.
What kind of fuel did you use? Jet fuel. It's like that was not in the instructions I told you to use. I was like, did you do that? I was like, no.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously lying.
We finally got She-Hulk in her super suit. And it is kind of a nod to the Avenger suits.
Yeah.
So it does fit into the universe very well, but it's still also a nod to her purple and white variations of her suit. She had multiple versions of that suit. I thought that was great. a more slightly heavy action-centric episode. We got to see a very experienced superhero in Daredevil fighting somebody still learning how to be a Hulk in She-Hulk. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
All in all,
they're bickering on the roof about how to do it, and it's like, let's just go in and smash things up. It's like, no, it's quiet and stealthy is the way to go. I've done 100 of these. How many have you done? None. Okay, let's go with my plan.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
It was. I mean, their banter was just chef's kiss.
I can't find a single thing wrong with this episode. I loved it so much.
Oh.
This series as a whole has been great, but like this to me was just a phenomenal episode. Again, love the fight scenes. Love the banter while he's fighting all the goons and she's,
yeah,
you know, freeing Jacob and, or Luke, sorry.
Yeah,
freeing Luke Jacobson. and also like going after, you know, Leapfrog there, Eugene. We also got more of Todd, the creepy date dude who we all think is somebody more involved. And he calls her up about something he bought, and it turns out he bought a Wakandan battle spear, you know, the Okoye and the Dermalage use. He got a hold of it. Now he's like, well, they're trying to get it back for me because they say it was taken by colonizers, blah, blah, blah.
But I got seats, so what?
Well, I think he's fighting that because the spear doesn't exist anymore. I believe the spear was melted down to get that vibranium tip that they needed to pierce her skin. The one we saw in previous episodes by Intelligentsia. Intelligentsia.
That's possible.
Yeah, Megan's like, butt smash. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we get to the end of the, what we thought is the end of the episode, Daredevil and She-Hulk hook up in a very cute scene.
Oh, yeah.
The sexual tension is there throughout the whole episode. We get Daredevil doing the walk of shame.
Oh, God.
Which was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And some people are like, oh, Daredevil's so worried about Secret Identity. Why would he be walking around in his suit, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, because he still has a mask on. Matt Murdock didn't show up to the room. Daredevil showed up to the room. So even if people are watching She-Hulk trying to spy on her, Daredevil showed up to the apartment. So he has to leave as Daredevil. If he left as Matt, which, by the way, doesn't have his suit on him. All he wore was that suit. He doesn't wear a suit underneath it.
So what's he going to do? Just carry the
walk
suit
around naked
in his underwear? Come on.
No. Thanks. It's also, he's got to walk without a stick. So with the Daredevil mask, people think he can see. There's a whole situation there. But he showed up to the apartment as Daredevil. He has to leave as Daredevil.
As Daredevil.
There's nothing about hiding a secret identity. He can still walk around during the day. He doesn't have to be just at night. Plus, he's in L.A. Nobody knows who Matt Murdock is. Nobody knows who Daredevil is. Obviously, exactly. They've made that very clear. This is not a famous vigilante of Hell's Kitchen. He is a vigilante that nobody knows about because he's new.
Yeah.
He's new to the MCU. So yeah, he's fine walking around. But I love that scene, the walking with the walk of shame. Plus, we got a nice daytime visual of his suit, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, we really got to see the vibrant colors and everything. And even the yellow on the suit, it looks to have more of a like yellowish gold tone.
Almost
to
a gold,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really dig that. I'm really kind of want to save my money and get this version of the suit now.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
It
really, really, really well done.
And plus, I have had multiple people say that I do resemble Charlie Cox a little bit.
I can see it.
I mean, if I cut my hair and trim my beard to 5 o'clock shadow, maybe get some thick glasses. So that might be in the future works.
Nice. Originally, I was going to be doing this podcast from New York. I was supposed to be at New York Comic Con this weekend. Things fell apart. That would have been cool, but I know that there's already people there doing this cosplay just from the trailer.
Yeah.
And they're probably even more excited this weekend because of this episode because it was so, so good. But let us jump into that gala scene.
Yes.
So Luke. Go ahead.
Yeah, before we go on that, there's one more scene I want to talk about during a little bit after the Walk of Shame before the gala.
You're right. Go ahead.
The fourth wall break when Jin's like, shouldn't this episode be over by now?
Not just that. There's three Easter eggs in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Two from Jen, one from Nikki, but go on.
Yeah. When Jen's fourth wall breaking and she references, like, could this be the
plot twist.
Yeah, that's the one. Which you need to bring that shirt back.
Yeah, I probably should.
Yeah, you should. I was definitely going to get it. But anyway, she goes in and she's talking about the plot twists for the next to the last episode. He's like, is next week the season finale? Is this going to be a plot twist where there's another Hulk, but he's red? Or am I going to get fridged? Which, when she said that, my mind blew.
I love that.
I cannot believe they actually referenced someone getting fridged. And for those of you that are not comic initiated, being fridged is when a character gets killed off for really no reason.
Solely, and, so it's mainly what it is. It's mostly, it's pretty much 99.999% female characters.
Yes.
That are introduced. They are introduced solely to be killed off to give a male superhero the motivation to be a better superhero. This all started, excuse me, back when Kyle Rayner's Green Lantern, his girlfriend was introduced, and in that very same issue, is then killed by the villain and shoved in a fridge.
Yeah.
She was introduced solely to be motivation for Kyle Rayner, because at that time, Kyle Rayner was still kind of like, do I really want to be a Green Lantern? Do I really want to do this? Do I really want to fight bad guys? And this was the tipping point to make him a hero, to give him his origin story, to give him his kind of Batman orphan parents kind of situation.
Yeah.
And then Gail Simone, the fantastic writer, Gail Simone of comics, called out a lot of people on this, both DC, Marvel, and other comics, and she had a huge list compiled of all these female characters that were introduced solely to give motivation. Even Gwen Stacy fell into that at first.
Yeah.
So her mentioning fridging, I thought was huge. I thought that was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
A throwback to our breaking news. Just watched the Mario trailer. Mario looks like Fix-It Felix from Wreck-It Ralph. A bit.
I thought the exact same thing. I just forgot to mention it earlier.
Should have been caked up. Mario always has cake. I'm upset about that. I don't know why I'm upset. I'm a 40-year-old man worried about an animated character's ass. Whatever.
It's nostalgia, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Not. Yeah, I'm gonna stop right there. But anyways. Yeah, no, so the fridging comment was great. But then also, as she's doing this fourth wall break, Nikki pops out and goes, hey, we got, and then she full on Wolverines the makeup stuff. Like full on, like almost without yelling shink.
Yeah.
Throws the arms down like the claws are popping out, puts them up. This is our second Wolverine reference in this series. Now, for those unaware, we kind of touched on it last week. Ryan Reynolds obviously put out that Deadpool 3 teaser, mentioning that Hugh Jackman will be back. There is, Freda, thank you for liking the stream. Appreciate it. You got a dancing dinosaur. So a lot of people, there's been this movement on TikTok I've seen and some other YouTubes, and I have, of course, put people in their place.
Dude,
but
you totally just said my wife's name wrong. She's going to kill you.
Wait, that's your wife?
Yes.
Oh, what did I say?
It's Frida.
Frida? Damn it. Sorry. I love you. Sorry. I'm sorry. Don't kill me. Frida, I'm sorry. I saw one E, not two, and my brain just. Sorry. McBride didn't even click in my head. McBride didn't even click in my fucking head. My bad.
Anyways,
back to what I was saying. There's been this movement of people saying that, you know, Marvel hasn't liked that video. They haven't posted anything. Is Ryan Reynolds doing this kind of like the Deadpool leak where he leaked the Deadpool footage forcing Fox to make the movie? Is he doing it? No, stop it. We've gotten two Wolverine references in She-Hulk. We've gotten mutant references. Marvel.com has an article up on that very teaser. Marvel Entertainment is not liking the post because they're still trying to distance Deadpool a little bit from the MCU until they bring him in. Because this is going to be a very R-rated film. It's going to be very Deadpool. They've made that very clear. The writers of it, they've had writers, have fired those writers, and have brought in new writers. The new writers happen to be the ones who wrote Deadpool. So they brought back the original writers. Sean Levy is directing. This film is very much being made. They have a date, September 6, 2024. Ryan Reynolds can't just leak something and then put a date on it hoping it works.
No. It's not like an ultimatum.
This is a done deal. Yeah, it's happening. Calm down. The problem with the MCU right now is that we get so much stuff out there and there's so much leaks in social media that everybody has a theory. But they all think their theory is fact and they won't take no for an answer. Then they get disappointed when their theory doesn't happen and they become dude bros themselves.
Exactly.
Male or female, they all become dude bros when their theory doesn't work out. Megan says she's so excited. I'm excited too. I'm a huge Hugh Jackman fan. I actually got to see Hugh Jackman live in concert. He did a tour after The Greatest Showman came out, where he did all his best works from Greatest Showman, nice. Leah Mejrab, The Music Man. He brought out Aboriginal singers from Australia. He used it was in Tampa. He used the Tampa Gay Men's Choir to back him up. The man makes Laughing Man coffee, which to me is the best coffee out there. And it's also, he has a coffee farm. Or it's a group of coffee farms in a small area, like a town of coffee farms. 100% of the profits of Laughing Man Coffee go to those families. Those people are making bank now because of it. If you've ever been in New York City, there are two brick and mortar branches of it, but you can also order it online. It is a little expensive, but it's highly worth it. The man is a godsend. He has done so much for so many people. He is so wholesome. He's also so Wolverine. But the fact that, like, they even had to come out with a second video to say, because people immediately jumped on this, and like, for everybody who was excited, there was equally the dude bros were like, well, this is going to ruin Logan. Logan was a perfect send-off. Why are they bringing him back? Blah, blah. By the way, those same people were the same ones begging for Hugh Jackman to come back.
Yeah.
But again, just anything, once they get what they want, it's not enough. They got a bitch. They then to make this wonderful other video explaining how he can come back. And of course, music plays over it. You can't hear anything they're saying. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Those two guys, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, are as close to human perfection as you can get. And not just in looks, although Ryan Reynolds is ideally one of the most gorgeous men on the planet, and Hugh Jackman's right up there with him.
Oh.
So funny, so quippy. Just life goals in general. But this was another reference to Wolverine. I believe that in Deadpool 3, we'll get Hugh Jackman's Wolverine from the Fox universe. They'll either kill him off or find a way to send him off and then maybe introduce a new Wolverine or set up the introduction of a new Wolverine in another film. But it's great. It's fantastic. I love every second of it. Jason says, my theory is everyone needs to keep the negative comments down and wait and see what happens. That's not a theory. That's a fact.
That's facts.
Stop bitching about things that aren't even out. The Rotten Tomatoes score for episode 8 of She-Hulk was 37%. The episode hadn't even been out, and nobody had seen it.
Yeah.
Nobody. No reviewers, no nothing. How does a show that's not even out get an audience score of 37%? Wait, it's the Dude Bros. It's all those keyboard warriors, that vocal minority with microscopic dick energy out there bitching about something that's not even out. Shut the fuck up. Just shut up. And there are other people, not going to name names right now, but there's a certain somebody on TikTok who is quasi-joking about the fact that his catchphrase, which is not his catchphrase, got put into the episode.
Let's put it this way. I guarantee you, me and you were using this catchphrase in the 90s before.
I've been using it my whole life.
Exactly.
It's two words. Let's go. Who doesn't say let's go in an excited fashion? Shut up. But Kel and I in the coming week will probably dismantle this person via TikTok and on the YouTube shorts. Yeah. You'll see a lot more of our stuff on there as well, so keep an eye on that. Please like the YouTube page. Appreciate it. By the way, if we can get our YouTube page up to 1,000, it would help us out greatly. So tell all your friends, tell everybody you know, go follow the page. It helps us out a lot. Thank you, Megan. She is dying at us overreacting to the idiots. But yeah, it's infuriating. And the whole point of our podcast and our channel as a whole, between Geeks and Noobs and Wrestling with Toxicity, TGN Networks as a whole, is we want to build an all-inclusive community, and we want to battle toxicity. We don't want to ignore it. We want to stop it because it's insane. Social media has become a cancer in a way that this vocal minority has a voice. These people have always been around. They've just been stuck in their mom's basements.
But now they didn't have the internet. They have the capability of getting their voice heard.
Yeah, the internet has allowed them to have a voice. I'm not saying people shouldn't have a voice. And if you have an opinion that's contrary to mine, if you don't like She-Hulk for valid reasons, that's perfectly acceptable. It's not meant for everybody. Nothing is.
If you don't like the story that She-Hulk is putting out, that's fine. I get it. Not everything is for everybody. But when you want to say, no, the show sucks. Okay, why do you think it sucks? It just does. Well, can you elaborate? It sucks. Okay, shut up.
Why is it gonna be so woke? Shut the fuck up. Stop. Just stop. First of all, woke is not an insult. Look at the definition of the word. It means that you're open to more people and more things.
Yeah.
Second, yeah, the 21 questions to prove you're a real fan. Exactly. The whole, like, gatekeeping people, they gotta go. The gaslighters, they gotta go. The hate watchers, the people who clout chase off of negativity, they gotta go. Lex Reviews, Marvelous Mark, King of Geeks, Nerdaholic, whatever. That channel. All these YouTube channels out there, like, the MCU is in shambles. Shut up. You had over a decade, over 24 films led by straight white men. Shut up. Stop it.
Yeah.
You've been represented for all of time. Shut up.
And it's the fact that, you know, people are still bringing up the scene in Endgame where all the female heroes got together and they started charging into battle, and we saw just them, and everybody got pissed off about it. It was like, why?
That was an A-Force reference.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a, oh, look how woke we are kind of thing. Yes, it empowered little girls. Little girls saw that scene and thought that was amazing. It is an A-Force reference. You know, a long-running comic book series of an all-female Avengers team called A-Force? That's what that was. Calm down. Pull up your tidy whities, retuck your little belly button of a penis, go back to your basement, drink your gamer fuel fucking energy drinks, and shut the fuck up. Stop. If you have valid criticism of the series, like people have talked about the CGI in not just a hateful way, but in like, hey, there's kind of a weightlessness to it. I get that.
Yeah.
Some people don't get the humor. I get that. Don't hate watch something. Like, even Cuban Crusher, who we've talked about on this show before, he actually made a great video about this because he started off like a dude bro. And he's like, ah, gotcha. He thought I was going to hate on this. But he even says, look, I haven't watched She-Hulk after episode 4. I haven't enjoyed it. I watched this one because Daredevil was going to be in it, and I was pleasantly surprised. I really love this episode. He's like, I will probably watch the finale because of it. But I didn't care for the series. Now, here is somebody who makes his living literally as a character of negativity, and even he had a better take than most dude bros. This dude gets all his clout off being a negative, like, I'm in the gym, nerds are stupid, and yet here's all my nerd takes. Like, he's literally a clout chaser that way, but even he had a better take than so many other people. Because feminism, that's why it scares dude bros. It's not feminism that scares dude bros. It's females that scare dude bros. Women in general scare dude bros because they know they can never actually get one. Like Marvelous Mark, who makes his entire personality now based off of Roman Reigns and I'm the tribal chief, acknowledge me, and MCU's in shambles, but Zack Snyder is the greatest thing that's ever happened to cinema.
No.
No.
Just no.
Zack Snyder, I think, would make a better cinematographer than a director.
Yes. His
cinematography in every film he does is glorious. I will admit, Zack Snyder's Justice League is far and away better than the Josh Whedon cut we got in theaters. That being said, that bar is so low, it's like saying that, you know, a McDonald's burger is better than a Burger King burger.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, they're still shit. Like, you're not comparing it to, like, Gorm. It's not like... Stop saying it's a 5-star Michelin restaurant level burger when it's just a Big Mac over a Whopper.
It's not like you're getting a burger from Gordon Ramsay, okay?
Yeah, exactly. But they treat it as such.
Exactly. No,
like Justice League, the Zack Snyder 4-hour cut is better. But
it's still not a great movie.
No. We have made a litany of metaphors about stuff like this. I'm trying to think of one that I haven't used yet. it's like,
let me go get the book.
Yeah, I know. It's like getting Halloween candy from an old person, and there's a Werther's Original in there, and the rest of it's that chalk candy. I love Werther's Original, but it doesn't beat Twix or Twizzlers or a Snickers. But in that bag, yeah, that Werther's is the best thing in there, because all the rest is that shitty, completely loose in the bag, Ziploc chalk candy, like worse than those Valentine hearts, the Be Mind hearts kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like those ones that are like, is this candy or is it medicine? Like, which one is it? Like, is this Adderall in a bag? I don't know what I'm getting
this
here.
This is a Tom's.
Basically. So then you get that Werther's Original, and it's like, oh my God. It's like that Eddie Murphy joke from Eddie Murphy Raw. I'm going to go into this. I love metaphors, so fuck it. Why not?
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy had one of the best ones. When he talks about women trapping men by not sleeping with them right away and leading them on. And then finally that time comes, you've been dating her for 6 months or a year, and you finally get to sleep with her, and it's the best sex you ever had. It is the greatest thing you've ever had. And you're like, oh my God, this is the best. But then all of a sudden, a year or two down the road, you're like, this is just the same old sex. And it's like, if you give a person who's starving in a desert and they've been starving for days and you give them a cracker, like, oh my God, this is the greatest cracker I've ever had. This is fantastic. This is salty. No, this is a Ritz. It's a Ritz cracker, right? This is fantastic. You can't have it. Can I have some more? Please, can I have some more? Please, can I have some more? And then after a while, you're like, this is a regular old damn cracker. And that's the thing. That's exactly what it is. That's what Zack Snyder's Justice League is to Justice League. It's just, it's that regular old damn cracker versus the crumbs and dust off a movie theater floor that was Josh Whedon's
movie. I actually had a similar thing that happened to me just like that when I had my gallbladder taken out, but I won't get into it here. Maybe later.
That's a story for another day. Maybe a YouTube short on that one.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. If you don't like She-Hulk, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Then don't watch it. Like I said, I hate to give so much credit to Cuban Crusher here, but he handled it perfectly. He didn't hate watch the show. He's a big Marvel fan, but he didn't like it, so he stopped watching. Now, he's a huge Daredevil fan, so he's like, I've got to watch this episode. And he watched it, and he liked it. And he loved the interpretation of Daredevil. He thought the comedy worked. He thought it fit perfectly in the MCU. And he thought that they still did a perfect representation of Daredevil. Like, and he's like, I'll probably watch the finale, even though I've not been real big into the show. I'm very curious where this is going. So he'll probably watch it. Great. Fantastic. That's how you handle it. Now these people like Lex Reviews out there purposely hate watching and purposely saying things just to get people to stitch their videos. Like, I'm not the target audience of this show, but if you are the target audience, then you're an idiot. Oh, so you're saying that every woman on the planet is an idiot?
Yeah.
You're saying that every person that appreciates a female lead is an idiot? No. And I don't believe you believe that either. I believe you're just looking for clout. This show has been so meta in that. It has been so in your face with that stuff. Every single post we saw on the social, on those fake social medias and on Intelligentsia, those are real posts that Marvel has received or has seen on social media. It is straight copy and pasted them. They changed the names of the users, but they're actual posts. They're actual posts. That should tell you everything right there. But ladies and gentlemen, Episode 8 was phenomenal. And going back to the Dude Bros, we get to the gala. They introduce the Female Lawyer of the Year Award with a line talking about how female lawyers are amazing, wonderful, and beautiful. They do everything a male lawyer does, but they do it backwards and in high heels. That is not only a, what I like to call a Hollywood compliment, which is actually just a passive-aggressive insult.
Yeah.
It's also a reference to Ginger Rogers from her and Fred Astaire. There was a line stated where, you know, basically like Ginger Rogers can do everything Fred Astaire does, but she has to do it backwards and in high heels because she's not allowed to lead the dance. She has to do everything backwards and do it in high heels. So Ginger is even better than Fred Astaire. It's basically what that line is stating. So that was a kind of little, it was a cute nod to Hollywood and the feminism and the anti-feminism and the misogyny in Hollywood. But I like that. Then Jennifer Walters wins the award, as does everybody else.
Yeah, all the other
category, making it go from a prestigious award to a participation trophy.
Exactly. I was like, so pissed off when that happened. I was like, are you kidding me right now? And
why the character's name is escaping me. Her lawyer, the other lawyer that are up with her that won. Burke. Can't think of her first name. What's escaping me. But what she says was fantastic. I love that. The first girl very much gives like a almost like a Miss USA answer.
Exactly. That's the way. Because they
and then she's like
asked right before that. I was like, what does being a female lawyer mean to you? I'm like, this is not Miss USA.
Yeah. But then it gets to Jen and she's thanking her parents, and all of a sudden screen gets taken over by the Hulk King, and they show they call her a villain, a clout chaser, a slut.
Yeah.
And then they show Josh actually taped them having sex. They leak all her phone information. Jen loses it. This goes all the way back to episode one where she says, I am infinitely better at controlling my anger. And the dude bros lost their shit over that.
Yeah.
But even in being able, even as a female, even as a woman who has to live their life in constant fear, constant anger, even they can lose control. We saw that here. She's growling. She punches the screen, breaks through the wall, and grabs a dude, which, by the way, the dude she grabbed, I think, is Todd.
I think so, too.
I think it's Todd. He was there for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's Todd. I think he is Hulk King. He is not the one in charge of Intelligentsia, though.
Yeah,
I do believe we'll get a nod to the leader.
Yeah, the beanie that he had, you could see slight curly hair and everything.
Yep.
So I really think that was Todd she grabbed up. But
this is setting up a season finale that is going to be.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get some reference to leader, as well as maybe some kind of like at least seed planted for Captain America New World Order.
Yeah, you know, I the really think that if we do get to see leader in some way, shape, or form, it'll probably be an end credit scene. In the last episode.
That's our secret. We're always angry. Yeah, Megan, yeah, I get
exactly.
it. Exactly. But even then, even that anger can reach a boiling point and boil over. And that's what we saw in this. Because she's still human. She's just even a super-powered one.
Yeah, even an active volcano will still erupt and blow.
Yeah. So, very interested to see where it goes. I'm very interested to see how they're going to wrap. There's a lot to kind of wrap up. This has kind of been the problem with Disney Plus shows, is that they get to the finale and there's a lot to wrap up in a short amount of time. But they've done a pretty good job of doing it for the most part. And even though most people think it'll be another 20 to 30 minute episode, we could get a longer episode. We got a longer episode this week. We could get a longer episode next week as well. Maybe a 40 minute episode or something. Either way, I have a feeling they're going to do it right.
Yeah.
But we also saw Damage Control show up to go after She-Hulk. It's like Damage Control is turning out to be a Gestapo police force, because this, as we talked about earlier, it's mentioned in a throwaway line. Sokovia Accords have been repealed. The superheroes can go back to having secret identities. They don't have to register. But the DODC is still trying to make people basically register.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of becoming like a Gestapo police force kind of thing. Why they were there, I don't know, unless the people doing the Hulk King thing called them, said, hey, you know, anonymous tip.
That's the feeling I got from it, because how did they get there so quickly unless they were called ahead of time?
That's what I'm thinking. It was kind of like, hey, she's going to lose her shit.
Yeah.
Something like that. But
because they knew that once they posted all that about Jen and her, all of her information and everything, she was going to lose it and become Savage Hulk.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to what's going to go down. I don't even want to like make any wild speculations, because at this point I don't know. I don't have any idea, except for I feel like the leader will appear in some way, even if it's a silhouette, something, you know. But Intelligentsia is a group of super intelligent supervillains. Doom has been a part of it at times. Mr. Sinister, MODOK, which we know we're getting MODOK in Quantumania. Other characters. And it was put together by the leader. And we know the leader wants to build his own Hulk he can control, which is why he wants to steal her blood. That kind of stuff. Yeah, the way they wanted to provoke her. Exactly. I find it interesting that the DODC has modified versions of the cannons from the Incredible Hulk movie. Mm-hmm. We saw those in Miss Marvel. Now we're seeing them again. But I want to go back to the Sokovia Accords repeal. Because like I said, it was a bit of a throwaway line, but in the perfect place and time, and it's just like, oh, by the way, that's been repealed. That explains why Falcon can do what he was doing for becoming Captain America. That's why Bucky was still able to work. That's why, you know, it was weird that the DODC was going after Miss Marvel, but they were worried more about her powers versus her registering. Spider-Man, they're like, well, if Peter Parker's going to be out in Spider-Man, he's going to get captured and have to reveal himself again. No, he doesn't. Because the Accords have been repealed. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
That was a terrible law. It was a terrible law in the comics called the Superhero Registration Act. The Sokovia Accords was a terrible idea, and we saw that because Endgame, it was just like, you know, even General, you know, Ross was still trying to be like, arrest them. No, we have to save the world. What are you talking about? In Infinity War, not Endgame, sorry. On top of that, we have rumors of a recasting for William Hurt. Harrison Ford is the name at the top of that list. That doesn't make any sense to me. Don't see him locking in to play a Red Hulk or even General Ross. People are saying it has to be done because of Thunderbolts. But people don't realize that the Thunderbolts have nothing to do with General Thunderbolt Ross. I know the names are obviously the same, but they have nothing to do with each other.
It's just named. The group is named after him.
They're not even. It's not even named after him.
Oh.
The name doesn't come from General Ross at all. It came from Justice hitting like lightning. It was just Baron Zemo as the Patriot or Super Patriot, whatever he called himself, trying to come up with a cheesy superhero group name. Because at the end of the day, the Avengers, kind of a cheesy name. We avenge.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, it actually had nothing to do with General Ross at all. But if the rumored World War Hulk movie's coming out, you know, maybe. I honestly don't think we need General Ross back unless you're going to do a Red Hulk thing. But then if you're going to do that, you have to get somebody. Harrison Ford is not going to do mocap. He's not going to do any of that stuff. I've seen some people say, bring back Sam Elliott. I'm down for that. Because there's a great video. I've talked about him on multiple times on his podcast, Mr. Sunday Movies. If you're not following Mr. Sunday Movies on YouTube, please go do so. On this week's episode of Caravan of Garbage, they talked about Incredible Hulk. And when that movie was being made, there wasn't an MCU at the time, really. They were trying to make a connected universe, but there really wasn't an MCU. The producer called the movie a requel. A reboot / quasi sequel to the Ang Lee Hulk movie. This is why he was in Brazil, which is where he ended up at the end of that one. They didn't bring Eric Bana back because Eric Bana never wanted to do another movie. For him, it was a one and done. He always thought that. He never thought about doing a sequel.
Yeah.
Also, Edward Norton came in and changed everything. Wanted to be more like the 70s Hulk movie or TV show. That was a problem. There's a reason why he was recast as Mark Ruffalo. Because Mark Ruffalo was actually the first choice to play Bruce Banner after Ang Lee said absolutely, or Eric Bana said absolutely not, I won't come back. Megan talks about, did you see that Brie Larson is supposedly leaving Captain Marvel? This was a statement taken out of context, and then rumors abound. No, she's not leaving Captain Marvel. She loves what she does. She's just tired of the over-the-hill white dudes bashing her. But she's not leaving the character. That was something that was taken out of context from an interview. If you watch the full interview, she's not going anywhere. But yeah, that's all over social media as well, Megan. But I don't necessarily think we need a Thunderbolt Ross anymore unless we are doing a Red Hulk, but I don't think we need a Red Hulk either. I think that's just too much. It's also that more of that, it's more of the same. It's more of like Abomination versus Hulk is a Hulk versus Hulk. Ironmonger versus Iron Man is an Iron Man versus Iron Man. Like everything, I want more diversity in a villain. Even Killmonger, as great as he was a Black Panther versus the Black Panther.
Yeah.
So like, let's get away from that. I don't think, unless they do World War Hulks instead of World War Hulk, in which case it is all the Hulks fighting. You can bring back Betty Ross as Harpy, the Red She-Hulk. Well-timed, Jason. We could do a Red She-Hulk. Yeah, you could bring back a Betty Ross as a Red She-Hulk. Somebody made a joke about how they should combine Liv Tyler and Jennifer Connelly's face, but then in doing so, it's like, oh, that's still the same person. But like bringing back a Betty Ross, if Liv Tyler is up for it, I'm down. If Jennifer Connelly's up for it, I'm down. If they want to do somebody new, I'm down. But you can do that and do a harpy character, and I would like to see her with her wings. Maybe evolve into that.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. Some people are wondering if we're going to get the Hulk back for the final episode to help She-Hulk, because Matt's gone. Matt's gone back to New York.
Yeah.
She-Hulk's going to need a little help. But I don't know. Like, can he wrap up that trip to Sakaar in that amount of time? I don't think so. So, but something has to come of it, though, right?
And plus, if he did come back from Sakaar, you know, would that get rid of the World War Hulk rumors? Because, you know, nothing is set in stone. This is just pure grain of salt, size of Mount Everest rumor.
Exactly.
That's what we're getting. Why else would he go back to Sakaar? But what if he comes back? Does that nip that in the bud?
Or does him, like, thinking he resolved the issue, and then his son shows up later to say that, you know, my mother was killed. Yeah. Like, because obviously it's not going to be a strictly comic to movie adaptation, because nothing ever has been in the MCU. No. But they're going to have to find a way to make the Hulk angry and rage out to World War Hulk status if they do it. But, I don't know. There needs to be some resolution, even if it's not a full resolution to that story bit of something showing him still there, maybe. Like, there has to be something, because some people have even forgotten about Bruce at all in this show.
Yeah.
The fact that the dude flew off in a goddamn spaceship.
In episode with 2.
Immaculate cell reception, might I add.
Yeah.
What does he have, Verizon? No.
No.
Kidding. But, like, I can't even begin to speculate what we're going to get next week.
Yeah, because I don't even think, because if we go back to the second trailer that we got, we have literally seen little scenes from every single episode that we have gotten so far. I don't think we've got anything from this last episode.
No, nothing. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, that being said, tonight, midnight Pacific time, 3 a.m. our time, which I don't sleep, so I'll be up and watching it.
Yeah.
We're getting Werewolf by Night.
I was really hoping we were talking about this before we go tonight, because yes. I am super psyched for this.
Now, not to just throw it out there, but I'll throw it out there. What are you doing this weekend?
Nothing that I am aware of at the moment.
I'm kind of thinking that either Saturday or Sunday we need to do just an impromptu episode.
Okay.
A supplemental episode to cover this. I want to cover this right away. I don't want to wait till next week. Because next week we have to... Next week's the finale. We're going to be all about She-Hulk finale and wrapping that up and where it's going from there.
Yeah,
I'm thinking that sometime...
It's going to be like a 2.5-hour episode.
Yeah, I think this weekend you and I need to like get together. We'll do it live so people can join in and comment. But it'll be a supplementary episode. Either Saturday night or Sunday night. We'll figure out a thing. Actually, Saturday night doesn't work because that's Extreme Rules. I'll be watching that.
I forgot about Extreme Rules.
Yeah, so we got that. So sometime on Sunday, most likely Sunday evening, we will do a supplementary episode on Werewolf by Night. Unless tomorrow night you're free and you just want to do it tomorrow night. Friday night.
I don't think I got anything going on. I will double check and I'll let you know later.
Double check and let me know. Keep an eye out on your notifications. Make sure you hit the notification bell on everything you've got that you're following us on.
YouTube.
Also, YouTube, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook.
Whatever.
We will post it and we'll go live either Friday night or Sunday night talking about this, the Werewolf by Night, because it's supposedly revolutionary. It actually got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics. So I'm super excited. What was I going to say?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Damn it. But yeah, we definitely want to touch on it. We definitely want to talk about it. There's talk about with the reception of the special presentation episode of Werewolf by Night, the fact that Armor Wars has moved from a series to a new, now it's going to be a movie, that Kevin Feige, the Disney Plus experiment is dead, but it's not dead. It's just they realize that some things are better off as a one-off, some things are better off as a series, some things are better off as a movie.
Yeah.
So they're going to kind of change around a little bit the formats of what we got going on. Werewolf by Night looks amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. So I was going to say, yeah, if whatever you're watching it on, please keep your notifications on. You see when we go live, we'll try to make sure it's posted so everybody can join in on the conversation. So we're going to do that. Next week is going to be insane to see how this show wraps up. This series has been just fantastic from day one. Like I said, my least favorite episode has been episode 4, and even then, it's still a fun and great episode. Just the weakest of the 8 so far. But it's like being the dude in a World's Strongest Man competition but getting last place. You're still one of the World's Strongest Men. You just
weren't as good.
Yeah. So I think that will be phenomenal. Oh, now I remember what I was going to say. I wanted to mention, I brought it up last week, I'm going to bring it up again. We have gone back to also having audio versions of this podcast, as well as Spotify now has video podcasts. So this episode, as of tomorrow, will be up on all our audio podcasts, Anchor, Google Podcast, iTunes Podcast, Spotify as an audio and video podcast that will all be up tomorrow. If you go to my TikTok or my Instagram, the link is in my bio for all of those. Or for most of them, if not, just search The Geeks and Noobs wherever you get your podcast from. So we're back to doing that as well so that we can reach even more platforms. Like I said, you're also going to see us growing the YouTube shorts as well as our TikToks. We're going to be moving that kind of stuff to help build a brand. We want to get our YouTube up to 1,000 to help us out, get this growing, get more people in, more eyes and ears on this, and bring more positivity to the community, because that's what we want. And I think that's what this show has been about. That's what Marvel has tried to be about from day one. I mean, I have high hopes for DC, but I also have very low expectations. We've got Black Adam. It's not gone well over at WB, especially after the Discovery merger and this current news that's come out, which I don't even want to talk about.
No.
Only makes things worse.
Let's not bring the people watching down.
Yeah. But we got Black Adam coming up in just a couple weeks.
Yay.
I think it's going to be fun. I really do feel like it's going to be fun. I think it'll be very much a rock movie. Like, it'll be very much I'm excited to see Dr. Fate, one of my favorite characters. I'm also obviously I love Dr. Strange. And Dr. Fate obviously predates that. I've always been a big Dr. Fate fan. I had the solo Dr. Fate run in the late 80s, where a female Dr. Fate was actually brought in, but you didn't know it for a very long time. But seeing Pierce Brosnan play Dr. Fate, I think is going to be phenomenal. I'm also a huge Hawkman fan. And so to see a live action cinematic debut of Hawkman, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
There's a new rumor that just came out that Henry Cavill will return as Superman in this film for like a post-credit scene kind of thing. I don't know how much I believe in that. Again, we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm still going to be there. It opens on a Thursday. Hoping to go see it in the afternoon before our podcast. I know you have to work. Not all of us are as lucky as I am to be medically retired from the Army, so I have the middle of the day to do stuff. But also, I have to not sleep during the day because of my insomnia not letting me pass out for 48 hours, and I sleep during the day the third day. But I do want to try to go see it that Thursday. We are obviously going to talk about it when it comes out. There's other stuff going on. We've got, again, Werewolf by Night. We'll probably do an episode this week. We're going to do it this week, either Friday or Sunday. There's Werewolf by Night. There's more stuff coming out. There's maybe some news coming from New York Comic Con this weekend. Marvel is back at New York Comic Con, but it does seem to be more comics related. But also, I'm going to start going back to my comic books. I haven't been able to go in weeks. You know, comic books are expensive. And so I haven't been able to go in weeks, but Marl, I will be going back, so we'll be bringing back our segment, What You're Reading This Week. I know that you got some stuff this week. Maybe tomorrow after our review, we can actually touch on that as well. Try to bring that back. I know that I'm still going to talk to them about doing a live podcast from their game room at my comic book shop. I know that Jason, we've talked about doing kind of a D&D game over the channel. That's something to look forward to. There's a lot coming up. So please make sure, once again, those notifications are on. You like, subscribe, all that fun jazz.
Yeah, and we have many spoons and many pots of brewing.
Yeah. So we're trying to grow the channel. Any ideas you have, let us know. We're always, we're open, all ears. Let us know things you want to see, things you'd like to have us talk about, stuff like that. Obviously, we're about to hit kind of a lull in certain things coming up after Black Adam. I think we have almost a whole, it's like 2 or 3 weeks before Black Panther hits theaters.
Yeah.
So we'll have to kind of, it'll be more news related at that time, but we'll be there. We're not going anywhere. We'll be around.
Yeah, we'll figure out.
So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you so much. And we will see you guys possibly tomorrow, possibly Sunday. Sometime soon. Keep those notifications on.